This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. President Obama broached the idea of mandatory voting this week when asked about managing the influence of money in politics. Let's give a listen.
In Australia and some other countries, there's mandatory voting. It would be transformative if everybody voted. That would counteract money more than anything. If everybody voted, then it would completely change the political map in this country. Because the people who tend not to vote are young, they're lower income, they're skewed more heavily towards immigrant groups and minority groups.
President Obama on mandatory voting there. Now, actually implementing mandatory voting might be a long shot at most, but we want to hear what you think about the idea. Should freedom in the U.S. continue to include the freedom to not vote? Should people be obliged to vote by law? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can join the conversation on the Central Time Facebook page. Ken Mayer joins us now. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison, specializing in elections. Ken, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you.
So what is the argument people make in favor of the idea of mandatory voting?
The idea is that it would make the electorate perfectly representative of the population and encourage engagement with the political process. And however nice the idea might be in theory, as a practical matter, it's just no way that it's going to be implemented in the U.S.
Right. What are voter turnout rates like in the U.S. Without mandatory voting and probably never having mandatory voting?
In the last few election cycles, turnout in the 2014 midterm was about 38%. Turnout in 2012, the presidential election, was about 59% to 60%. And both of those are actually, the presidential turnout is a little bit higher than what has been typical over the last 30 years. In contrast, the turnout in countries that around the world that have compulsory voting tend to be well above 80% to 90%. Australia has it. Their turnout is typically 93% to 95%. Argentina has it. Their turnout is in the high 70s. Belgium, around 90%. So it's clear that it significantly increases turnout, but it has to be something that is really baked into the political culture of a country, and that just doesn't seem to be consistent with the way that most people in the U.S. think about politics and the role of government.
In those countries that have mandatory voting, is there a sense among the people who are voting, do you think that they're doing things better there, that there's a better outcome, or there's more buy-in because everybody has to participate, or do they have a similar sense of cynicism maybe toward politics that a lot of people here in the U.S. have?
Well, I the only place that I have personal experience of is Australia. I've lived there, and they don't like their politicians and government any more than we like ours, and so it doesn't really seem to do much about enhancing confidence in the system. What it does do is it takes away the need to try to mobilize voters to spend money to get out the vote, and that's something that's enormously expensive, and there is an enormous amount of money spent in the U.S. by parties and interest groups and candidates to try to get their people out, because it's very, very expensive, difficult to contact, difficult to engage with people. And so by in effect, taking on the responsibility of enforcing or mobilizing voters, it no longer falls to parties and candidates, and it makes it a little easier for them to focus on their messages. But as far as the effect on policy, there really doesn't seem to be a lot of good data one way or the other to suggest that it would move policy to the left or the right. It would probably be close to a wash.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea of mandatory voting? As we've mentioned, probably not going to happen in the United States anytime soon, but do you think it should? Would you like to see it? Or if not that, what do you think would be a better way to encourage a bigger voter turnout in the United States and here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234 is the number to call as we talk to Ken Mayer. And we've got Matt starting us off in Sparta. Matt, hi.
Hi there. Actually, I kind of disagree with your guest. I believe that mandatory voting would push politics toward the left. And that's all. I also believe that's why President Obama seems to think favorably about the idea. But my comment, though, was if we do have mandatory voting as a law, I think that people should also be mandated to pass an exam to prove that they know who they're voting for. Because I think a big reason a lot of people don't vote is because they don't care enough to vote. And if they don't care enough to vote, they probably don't know the situation. And if those people were forced to vote, they're not going to know who they're voting for.
Matt, thanks a lot for that call. And kind of want to bring up an issue that he kind of points us toward there. Some people say, you know what? Be careful what you wish for when it comes to voter turnout. Are we bringing in a less informed voters who will make less informed decisions? Is that a worry among people who study voter turnout?
It is. One of the effects that that the proponents hope would happen is that if people know that they are expected to vote and could be fined if they don't, that gives them an incentive to invest the time to get up to speed on the candidates. But one of the things you do observe in Australia in particular is a very high rate of invalid ballots, or what they call informal votes. Typically in the U.S., it ranges around maybe 2-3% of the votes are bad because there are overvotes or undervotes and whatnot. In Australia, that rate is 2-3 times higher, and there's some evidence that at least some of that is due to protests and people submitting blank ballots or writing messages on it. But as the caller sort of hinted at, the issue of sort of testing people to make sure they're up to speed on politics has a long and not very good lineage in the United States as a way of disenfranchising people. But it does cut across the in the last 10 years or so, there's been a lot of effort to actually make voting more difficult, to impose requirements, whether it's photo ID or removing the protections of Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. But as far as policy and information goes, the theory is that people need to play a part in the political process, and you can't make prior judgments about who is and is not informed.
So I get a comment from Facebook. Joe writes, find us some candidates worth voting for, and you might be surprised by how many people show up. We need more options, Joe says, besides Republicans and Democrats. And how about a none-of-the-above option while we're at it?
Well, the state of Nevada had that for a couple of elections. You could have the option of none-of-the-above, and it actually would get a non-trivial percentage of the vote. But one of the issues here is that if you were to write down the political pathologies that affect American politics, and there are quite a few of them, there is not a procedural fix to them. And a lot of reforms have been floated, whether it's the jungle primaries, the top two primaries, trying to change campaign finance, lots of different things that have been tried. And those kinds of procedural practices don't really change the way that politics is conducted, the incentives of candidates, and the way that campaigns are run. That's much more of a complicated and overall response to the political environment that candidates are dealing with.
Ken, we'll have to have you on to talk about political pathology sometime, too. I think that's a great starting point for another conversation. Let's go to our callers again. We've got Casey with us in Black River Falls. Casey, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think in a country that's so concerned about personal freedom, what have you, which rightfully so, the term mandatory sets a certain spin or connotation to it. From what I've read, my understanding is that in a lot of these countries, if you don't choose a participate, I mean, they're not going to lock you up, but you lose access to certain government-funded programs and what have you.
All right, Casey, thanks a lot. And that was one of the points you alluded to earlier, Ken. This just doesn't feel consistent with how we think of politics in the U.S.
Right. So in Australia, again, to use the example that I'm most familiar with, you're fined. The fine is $20, and some people don't vote and just pay it. But you can wind up facing sanction and being jailed if you refuse to pay the fine. Now, the argument that Australian supporters of this make is that there are other forms of compulsory activity that fall upon citizens. jury duty, for example, or paying taxes, lots of compulsory activities. But voting is I think different, particularly in the U.S. context. I think that there's absolutely zero chance that the public would stand for it, and the levels of compliance that you get. If you had 10% non-compliance in the U.S., you're talking about 10 million people, 15 million people being potentially fined, and that's just a logistical impossibility.
Time for a quick call from Jim in Appleton. Jim, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I was just I was thinking that the biggest problem, it seems, that people don't want to vote is because they don't believe that their vote really counts. With the Electoral College in place, the popular vote kind of takes a sidestep to that. Do you believe that if we went for a popular vote, that we would get more voters and then they would feel that that would be that their vote would be important?
Jim, thanks. Ken, just a brief answer.
Probably not. That the real effect of voting has to do with the fact that an individual vote will typically have very little effect on the outcome. And it's not the Electoral College that's driving that. In fact, voting in the presidential elections is significantly higher than it is for any other kind of election. So it's not something that people feel disengaged. The survey data shows that people who don't vote really don't necessarily feel more disillusioned about politics than people who do vote.
We'll leave it there. Ken Mayer, thanks for joining us. More to come here on Central Time.